Support for this podcast comes from Outdoor Supply Hardware, inviting listeners to Osh's big anniversary sale celebration, May 20th through the 26th, featuring daily deals, $15,000 in giveaways, 20% off store-wide on Saturday and Sunday, and a lot more. Learn more at osh.com.
From KQED.
I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Local news to keep you rooted. Well, the Bay's got a new team to cheer for. Bay Football Club, or Bay FC, has kicked off their debut in the National Women's Soccer League as the region's only women's pro sports team. And they've got some big ambitions.
They're putting their money where their mouth is. They're not just kind of happy to be here. They actually intend to be good on the field.
Bay FC's inaugural home game is next Saturday at PayPal Park in San Jose. Today, I talk with the San Francisco Chronicle's women's sports reporter, Marissa Njemi, about the Bay Area's newest professional women's soccer team.
For a small region, it really is one of the hotbeds for women's soccer in the country.
Marissa Njemi covers women's sports for the San Francisco Chronicle.
In the Bay specifically, you can see the growth just from the fact that this is the third pro team attempt, and it just feels so different than two decades ago. I think a lot of that is because the U.S. women's national team has had the profile that it has, especially since 2019. Then I think in general, just like women's sports is having such a moment between basketball, soccer, volleyball, everything, that everything's building off of each other. It's just such a different moment in time for women's sports generally that women's soccer is kind of riding the wave of that.
You mentioned this is the third attempt at a pro women's soccer team here in the Bay, is that right?
Yeah, FC Gold Pride in the WPSL in, I believe, like 2008, and the San Jose Cyber Rays in the early 2000s in, like, failed startup women's leagues.
Oh my gosh, Cyber Rays?
Yeah.
That sounds very 2000s
yes,
to me.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, can you give us a sense of, like, what role the Bay Area has played in the growth of women's soccer over the years?
You just have to look at the women's national team where you see so much Bay Area talent on that team between Naomi Girma, who went to Stanford. She's from San Jose. Alex Morgan, who went to Cal. You see Santa Clara alum, like, left and right.
But it also means that the USA could win the World Cup on this next kick.
Even back to 1999, the big Women's World Cup that really kind of sparked the growth of women's sports period in North America. Brandi Chastain was on that team.
Go!
She scored a famous goal and now she's the owner of this team. So you can see kind of like all the parallels of the Bay Area really being almost like the breeding ground for the growth of women's soccer. And you look across the NWSL and there are so many players who went to Stanford, who went to Cal, who went to Santa Clara.
Well, you mentioned this is not the first attempt at a pro women's soccer team, and there's actually concurrently another women's soccer team that's sort of growing at the same time, the Oakland Soul. But how big of a deal is Bay FC?
Yeah, it's a big deal in a sense of like the Bay Area in general is kind of looking for more teams to rally around between the A's leaving, the Raiders have left, the Warriors are still here, but they left Oakland, the Earthquakes aren't that good. So I think that people are kind of ready to rally around this new thing. And also, like I said, women's sports are kind of having this moment. And even though the Bay is such a strong women's sports market with like Stanford women's basketball and things like that, they were missing out a little bit, and now they kind of have this thing to rally around opening day on March 30th. I think it's going to be a sellout, and people just seem genuinely so excited to have a stake in what's happening in women's sports.
Well, I want to talk, Marissa, about how this team even got started. How did Bay FC happen? Like, what did it take?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, the league started expanding a little bit more, and they added teams in LA and San Diego. And the LA team, Angel City FC, did a tremendous job marketing. They had the highest valuation of any women's soccer team in the U.S. And the now owners of Bay FC, Brandi Chastain, Allie Wagner, Danielle Slayton, and Leslie Osborne, who are all former women's national team players and went to Santa Clara, they saw that and were like, well, we should do that here. And they really made a tremendous push to get the capital raised, to work with Sixth Street, who's the investment group, to really establish that there was an audience that was interested and make a campaign to the NWSL of like, hey, when you guys expand, we want to be a part of that. Bay FC invested $53 million in an expansion fee, which is the largest for any NWSL team and women's sports team before the WNBA expansion fees a few months after that. They really just established that people were interested in the NWSL, said, yeah, go for it. And they didn't have that much runway to build a team, but they got it done.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money invested in this team, right? And it's, I imagine, also going to be used to build facilities and marketing and all that.
Yeah, so $53 million is just an expansion fee, but they invested over, I believe the number was $120 million overall, which is a gigantic investment for women's soccer. We haven't seen one like that except for the Kansas City Current. So yeah, I mean, they've said all along their goal is to have their own stadium and especially their own training facility. Right now, they're training at San Jose State, where they have some of their own facilities. They're playing at PayPal Park, but they definitely are looking to invest in that infrastructure over time. I believe the deal at PayPal is for 5 years, so we'll see where things are at in the future, but their goal is to have staying power and to throw money at it so that they can.
Coming up, we'll talk about the team and what's going to make them worth cheering for. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast comes from Outdoor Supply Hardware, inviting listeners to Osh's big anniversary sale celebration, May 20th through the 26th, featuring daily deals, $15,000 in giveaways, 20% off store-wide on Saturday and Sunday, and a lot more. Learn more at osh.com.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone? Hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years. Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles. The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's talk about the team and the players, Marissa. This is a brand new team. It's in its first year. Is the team already good, or is it going to take some time for them to kind of get to that point?
I mean, expansion teams are tough because even if they have a lot of really good names, we don't know what the chemistry is going to be or what it's going to look like. Until about mid-January, they still didn't have a full roster, and I was a little nervous. Do they have players, or like, who is going to be on the field? And then they just kind of went on this international spending spree. They brought in Assad Ashola, who scored their first goal and looked absolutely amazing in the game at Angel City to open their season.
Oshawala shoots, it's in! History! The first ever goal.
They signed her from Barcelona, a Nigerian player who's just a stunning striker. They brought in Jen Beattie, who's a well-known defender from Arsenal.
When Bay came in, it was a no-brainer. The project seemed unbelievable, and the time was right for me to come out and play out here. So a kid from Glasgow playing in California, could not be happier.
Dana Castellanos from Venezuela, who was a tremendous midfielder for Manchester City. And then Rachel Kundinaji from Zambia, who played for Madrid. They have some very personable players who have gotten a lot of notoriety internationally, but also can really play soccer really well.
Well, that said, is there anyone from the Bay playing for Bay FC?
Yeah, there's a few connections. Caitlin Rowland, who's likely going to be the backup keeper for most of the season, is from Walnut Creek. She won an NWSL title a few years ago for the North Carolina Courage. She's a veteran goalkeeper. She'll definitely see some time. Alex Loera, who is their captain, at least in their first game. They haven't named an official captain for good yet, but she was the first player to be signed in Bay FC history, former Santa Clara player. Definitely a lot of people who are invested in the growth of women's soccer in the Bay, and a lot of people who are new to the Bay, especially some of these international players who have never been here before, who the ones I've talked to so far have really loved getting to see San Francisco and San Jose and establish roots here.
What about the head coach, Albertine Montoya? What's interesting about him, and why is his hiring as a head coach notable? I know he's got some Bay connections as well, right?
Yeah, he's probably the most connected person in Bay Area women's soccer possible. He's been a youth coach at MVLA for a long time and has really made a mark in the Bay Area coaching almost all the future stars we've seen come out of the Bay from the time they were children. He coached both the Cyber Rays and FC Gold Pride, where he coached Brandi Chastain and Leslie Osborne, actually, decades ago now. And the players love him. It's interesting talking to every player that signed. Like, he's a big reason why all of them have chosen to sign with the team. He has a very specific style of play he wants to implement with possessing the ball and being very aggressive. And a lot of the international players that have come to the Bay have wanted to play that style and play for him.
Bay FC has already played one game, as you mentioned, winning 1-0 against Angel City. Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I was there.
What was it like to be there at that first game?
It's fun because Angel City is a team that Bay FC has gotten compared to the most as far as like an expansion club that is really going for it. And the owners of Bay FC are close with some of the founding members of Angel City. So that was kind of the natural opponent. And the fan bases are kind of close too. So the Bridge Brigade, who's going to be the supporters group for Bay FC, was down there. And they were like intermingling with some of the Angel City supporters groups. It was so cute. They actually had like friendship bracelets that have like the colors of both of the teams, like welcoming them to the league.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, women's sports fans are like such a close-knit group because everyone's kind of in it together. So much of it is like accessible online compared to in the mainstream. So a lot of those bonds are formed. So even like teams that are going to be rivals, the fans are welcoming each other. It was really cool to see that people cared and made the trip, and it'll be even more fun to see like a whole stadium cheering them on.
Well, you mentioned earlier, Marissa, next Saturday the 30th is the inaugural home opener for Bay FC. What are you looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, so they've been saying it's going to be a sellout, so I really want to see like, this has been a couple years in the works, and it'll be really cool to kind of see the fruits of their labor and see an entire stadium cheering on a Bay Area women's soccer team and seeing the fan supporter section for the first time and whatever chants they come up with. That will be really fun. But also, like, it might be Kundanagi's debut by that point. We don't know kind of when she's going to be back, if it'll be this weekend or next, but that will be really fun. What are the reactions from Bay FC fans to see some of their favorites on the field? Like, who are their favorites? We don't know. How are they going to react to someone like Ashola or Lisanne Prue? It'll be really cool to kind of establish, like, what the fan culture is going to be, and that's going to happen at the home stadium.
I mean, I think we all know that women's professional sports teams don't get the same love as men's teams. So I wonder, Marissa, what do you think it's going to take to make sure of this team success here in the Bay?
Women's sports kind of is making its push into the mainstream kind of through women's basketball, but women's soccer as well. So I think now is probably the best time to capitalize on that wave. And I feel like I can't go anywhere in the Bay without getting off the BART and seeing like a Bay FC ad or a billboard on the highway. Like, I kind of feel like they're everywhere. I think women's sports, especially pro sports at the level of like WNBA, are kind of past that wave of, are we going to survive? Like, I think they're here to stay at this point. So now it's a matter of like how much they can establish themselves in the sports culture in their region. I think fans are going to be very willing to engage with a new team here. And I think there's a really high potential for Bay FC to make a real impact.
Well, Marissa, it was so fun to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was Marissa Njemi, who covers women's sports for the San Francisco Chronicle. This 25-minute conversation with Marissa was cut down and edited by producer Maria Esquinca. Alan Montesilio is our senior editor. He scored this episode and added all the tape. Music courtesy of First Com Music, Universal Production Music, and the Audio Network. The rest of our podcast team here at KQED includes Jen Chien, our director of podcasts, Katie Spranger, our podcast operations manager, Cesar Saldana, our podcast engagement producer, Maha Sanad, our podcast engagement intern, Ellie Prickett Morgan, our production intern, and Holly Kernan, our chief content officer. The Bay is a production of listener-supported KQED in San Francisco. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next week.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles? The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey, that's where you go to Sunshine State, but we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.